The other thing that you can say from this is that beefall is a non-starter. And while it would have been nice to have a bolus alternative to infusional 5-FU, both in the TREE-1 trial, you know, that's what a randomized phase 2 is supposed to do, is to pick winners, as well as in the TREE-2 trial, that was the worst regimen when it comes to terms of response rate. What it did show is that the response rates were similar, not quite as high, but similar, and the toxicities were similar, but in a very small setting. There were only about 70 patients per trial between the capecitabine arm and the infusional 5-FU arms.
So do you think that's a rational or reasonable regimen to use, the capecitabine, oxali, and Bev?
It's a reasonable regimen. It's not the regimen that I use. I think that until you can show me better data, and unless there's some reason, I mean, oncology is an art as well as a science. There are people, for some of the reasons that I mentioned before, such as travel or personal preference, really would want to have capecitabine. I think until it's been shown to be equivalent, the infusional 5-FU regimens are so well tolerated and they have so much data and they really are the gold standard. I think that most academic GI oncologists would feel that that's still the standard of care. And in fact, when it's been asked in forums, it's almost uniform among GI oncologists that people will use an infusional 5-FU regimen. And remember, you know, the capecitabine-based regimens are not without toxicity. They also have hand-foot syndrome is increased. So there is a trade-off for everything that you do. The other thing I think that this is actually a follow-up on something that you had said is that a lot of the excitement has been in the crosstalk between the pathways. I mean, clearly, while bevacizumab is a major advance in the treatment, not just of colon cancer, but other, you know, breast cancer, lung cancer, perhaps renal cell carcinoma to a certain extent, but particularly breast and lung, is that, you know, does blocking multiple pathways make sense? In other words, not just blocking several things in the same pathway. We have hammers. And we have nails, and the nails are the EGFR pathway with cetuximab and panitumumab. And we also have at least one drug that blocks VEGF that's out there, which is bevacizumab. And there are several trials, and I think the data from Len Saltz's trial, which he sort of took the name Bond from the Europeans, and in the Bond-2 trial, that the combination of, which I think you'd also mention, cetuximab plus bevacizumab is very interesting. And if you can compare between trials, which you probably shouldn't, but we all do, had a higher response rate than really any of the single-agent cetuximab trials have ever had. So this is being looked at both in the bevacizumab failure population now, and also it's bringing to the frontline setting where there are two trials. The trial that's farthest along is called the PACE trial, or P-A-C-C-E. And the PACE trial is actually two trials put together. It's 800-patient FOLFOX trial versus 200-patient FOLFIRI trial. And that's about actually how it breaks down. They're not randomized, but in the United States, that's about 70% of patients go on FOLFOX frontline. And this is for first-line metastatic disease. All the patients have bevacizumab, which is the standard of care, and they're randomized between receiving the fully human EGFR antibody panitumumab versus, it's really hard to have a placebo-controlled trial in a drug that causes a rash.
Right.
So that trial is a large 1,000-patient trial that's currently open and accruing, and I'm actually the national PI on that. Hmm. The panitumumab has been very interesting. It's another antibody in the phase 2 trial, some of which I have run. It looks very similar to cetuximab. It may have a better toxicity profile where the incidence of anaphylaxis and infusion reactions appears to be lower. There is a large randomized trial in Europe that has already been completed. Eric Van Cutsem is the PI on that trial. Remember, there are no randomized trials showing a benefit in survival with cetuximab. This was all accelerated approval, and accelerated approval really based on response rates, you know, and unmet needs. So what this trial is, it's a randomized trial between panitumumab and best supportive care. As you would expect, that would be a difficult trial to do in the United States, but for societal reasons, it's easier to do in Europe. I think if panitumumab does show a benefit in survival, then I think it'll be approved relatively quickly.
Interesting.
And as I said, you know, there's never been an anti-EGFR antibody that has a randomized trial showing survival.
Hmm.
There's also a cooperative group trial, and that's the CALGB SWOG trial frontline. And that's a very interesting trial as well, and that's Charles Blanke from Oregon and Alan Vanook at UCSF. And that trial is FOLFOX or FOLFIRI, dealer's choice. They're making the assumption that they're equivalent. Then those patients are randomized to three arms. They're randomized to bevacizumab, which would be the control arm. They're randomized to cetuximab alone, which is an experimental arm, which is actually very interesting. And they're randomized to the combination.